Welcome to the Spirit of Life Ministries. Spirit of Life Ministries' aim is to call to the born-again body of believers to manifest the kingdom of God through the teaching and proclamation of the Word of God, as well as the greater good for all humanity. Spirit of Life Foundation is based on Ephesians 4th chapter, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and fullness of Christ, to the edifying of the body of Christ in love. Spirit of Life Ministries' heart is for the restoration of the soul and greater good for all out of love. Please welcome now Sister Beatrice Jackson.
Thank you for joining Spirit of Life Ministries. I'm Sister B. I give honor to the Trinity Godhead, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for another opportunity to minister your word. I ask that you open the hearts of the hearers in the name of Jesus. And Holy Ghost, give me the grace to minister what the Father has given me. All this I ask in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. Well, the Lord has had me ministering on transitions for purpose according to the paradigm shift that is taking place. And our foundation scripture is found in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. And I'm not going to read that today for the sake of time. Now, last broadcast, I left off talking about Joseph. And I mentioned that some places that we end up at as we transition appear to be out of the will of God, as we will see in Joseph. And I left off in Genesis 37, verses 7, 9 through 11. And I'm just going to summarize it for the sake of time. And it's where Joseph is telling his brothers and his family about his dreams. He dreamed two dreams. The first one he told his brothers about their sheaves bowing down to his. And the second one he told to the whole family, his father, his mother, and his brothers, where the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to him in respect to him. And the sun and the moon represent heaven backing him. And the 11 stars symbolize his 11 brothers, being the 12 tribes of Israel. These are the children of Israel. These are the sons of Israel. Now, Joseph is already hated by his brothers, and they hated him for his dreams even the more. And in verse 18, they plotted to kill him. But in verse 21, his oldest brother, Reuben, stopped them. So, in verse 22, they conspired to throw him into a pit in the wilderness. And so they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors, which his father gave to him. This is one of the reasons that they hate his brothers, hated him too, because his father showed favoritism towards Joseph because he gave him a coat of many colors, and he was the only brother of the 12 that had that. So this is another reason that they hated him. They hated him for that favoritism and because of his dreams. And they ended up throwing him into a waterless pit. And afterwards, they sat down to eat. And as they sat down, a company of Ishmaelites from Gilead came through on the way to Egypt. And in verses 27 through 28, we see where they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Now, praise God, so far, this does not line up with the two dreams Joseph dreamed. Let's go to chapter 39, starting at verse 1. And this is when Joseph is taken down to Egypt. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand or succeed in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put under his authority. Oh, praise God. We see Joseph going into a leadership role already, being an overseer. We also see God's hand on his life, even in an adverse or what appears to be, actually it is, an adverse situation. Let's go down to verse 6. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. The King James Version says he was a goodly person and well-favored. Do you also see how Joseph is trusted based on his integrity? And God is blessing Potiphar for Joseph's sake. And in the meantime, other things are beginning to take place. In verse 7, it reads, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me." Verse 8, "But he refused." Now, she wants Joseph to have sex with her. Let's go to verse 9 and see what Joseph says. "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back," he meaning his master Potiphar, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Look at there. Now Joseph's integrity and faithfulness is based on his relationship with God. He doesn't see it just as a sin, but he sees it as a sin against God. Verse 10, "So it was, she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or be with her." Now verses 12 through 14, "One day when he was there alone with her, she caught him by his garment and said again, lie with me. And he ran out of the house, but she caught a piece of his garment and he left it behind as he fled the house. And then she lied in verse 14 and said, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice." Now, all along, she's lying. She's scorned. She's a woman scorned. So she's going to lie on Joseph. We go down to verse 19. We see what happens when Potiphar hears about it. "So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused." Verse 20. "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison." Again, this does not seem like the dreams unfolding. But look, verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph," praise God, thank you, Jesus, "and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Now, Joseph has gone from having favor with Potiphar, his master, to the keeper of the prison because God gave him favor. And it goes on to say in verse 22, "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing." Again, in another leadership role, do you see the progression in preparation for the palace? Verse 23. See, that's why I say every adverse situation that appears to be out of the will of God may not be. It may be in preparation for the purpose that God has ordained for us. Because if you're following along, every place Joseph went, he was able to develop his leadership abilities, his leadership skills. He was in a leadership role. God's hand of favor was upon him. And he was in charge. He was overseer. And people entrusted him based on his integrity, his character. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, verse 23. "The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Do you see this? Praise God. People that Joseph was placed under, they entrusted him because the Lord was with him. And the authority that Joseph was given was actually given by God, even though man was just a tool in God's hands. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, but it gets gooder down in chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Verse 5, then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? Verse 8, and they said to him, we have each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. So verse 9, then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into the Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. Praise God. Do you also see the opportunity for his spiritual gift of interpretation to develop while what seems to be in an adverse situation? Are you getting what I'm saying now? That sometimes it can appear that we're out of the will of God. Yet if we keep an eye on God, and see, this is the key. If we're looking for God in adversity, we will find him, and we will begin to experience what or understand what he is doing in us as he begins to unfold his plan for our lives. And it can get to the point where adversity does not look so adverse. Let's go on, because it still gets gooder. Thank you, Jesus. So he goes on to say in verse 14, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and I also have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. Verse 16. Now, here's the chief baker. The chief baker saw that the interpretation was good. He said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost baskets were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Well, praise God. It looks like that's all we have time for today. Thank you, Jesus. This is so good to me. Praise God. I do thank you for joining me. This is Spirit of Life Ministries. I'm Sister B, and until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Spirit of Life Ministries, an end time ministry purposed for revival of the heart toward God, restoration of the soul for the hungry and the lost. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let those that hear say, come. And let them that are athirst come. They that will, let them take the water of life freely. If you would like to contact or be a blessing to the ministry, Spirit of Life Ministries can be reached at 414-249-5121. Until next time, thank you. And God bless you.